Welcome to Board Never Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Ms. Barbara Ingracia. Barbara, take it from here.
Well, thanks so much, Tanya. It's for this opportunity to share with your community. Now, our topic today, Board Never. And what I'm going to then expand on that is talking about bringing some fun to a potentially dull, boring topic, copyright. So if you think copyright law is boring, think again. So I'm Barb Ingracia, as Tanya said, and when we think about being bored, we feel blah, disinterested, like there's no air in the room. So what do you consider boring? Watching paint dry, watching grass grow, and dare I add, thinking about U.S. copyright law. If we've met face-to-face or virtually through these summits, you may remember that I have a passion for raising awareness about copyright law. Now, you know, the C in a circle, copyright law, and its role in our daily lives. I view copyright law as a tool we can all use to achieve our goals. And in fact, my slogan is, manage copyright. Don't let it manage you. But I also realize that not everyone shares my passion about copyright. So I enjoy bringing some fun to a potentially dull, boring, but very important topic. Today, I want to share with you a few of the ways I bring some fun into our conversation about copyright law. We'll have to use our imagination for some things, but let's see how this goes. So copyright law is one form of protection for intellectual property. Intellectual property is of the mind. We all know and understand physical property because we can see it and we can touch it. Our cars, our homes, our computers, our clothes, our books, our DVDs. Those are examples of physical property. But all those forms of physical property started out as someone's idea, was their intellectual property. So intellectual property fuels progress in the sciences, the arts, promotes economic and social development, our growth, our culture. Just as we protect our physical property with laws against stealing or damaging, we also protect intellectual property with laws. So, for example, ideas that are inventions or new processes are protected by patent law. Our brand, our business name, our tagline, our logo is protected by trademark law. Original creative works of authorship, such as music, novels, books, audiovisual materials, photographs, pictures, computer programs, are considered original creative works, as long as they are original. And so those are protected by copyright. Ideas must be expressed in a fixed medium. So we have the patents, we have the trademark, we have the copyright. But we also can protect our ideas by keeping them secret. We call those trade secrets. Now, this all can seem complicated and confusing, and in fact, I call copyright law in the digital age a gray, murky ooze. It's not clear. There are potholes and quicksand that can suck you in. So I like to use props or other creative ways to try to help us understand what's going on. there's one object that embodies all of the intellectual property types I've mentioned: patent, trademark, copyright, trade secret. And that object is a Coca-Cola bottle. Now, because this is just audio, we'll have to use our imagination a bit. But because a Coca-Cola bottle is so well known, so distinctive, I don't think that'll be difficult. Think of the distinctive curved shape of a Coca-Cola bottle called the contour bottle design. Legend says it may be based on the shape of a cocoa bean pod, you know, a little fatter in the middle. Well, prior to the contour bottle design, bottles were pretty much just straight, flat-sided. This new shape, this Coca-Cola bottle, was so unique that the process to make it, received a design patent, a patent for its design. And that was awarded in 1915. That patent expired after 14 years, but that bottle image lives on and is said to be the most recognized container in the history of the world. I'm not sure about that, but that did come from a patent-related website. The script for Coca-Cola, so recognizable, you know, the very flowy script, the font, represents the brand. And that is a registered trademark. So if you look closely on a bottle or a can, you'll see the R in a circle representing a trademark registered by the U.S. government. Any advertising in magazines, on television, musical jingles are creative works of authorship protected by copyright. And finally, no one knows the exact recipe for making Coca-Cola. Scientists have analyzed its ingredients, but cannot figure out how to make that distinctive Coca-Cola taste. That is a secret, a trade secret, which has been kept for well over 100 years. In fact, legend has it that no one person knows the exact complete recipe. Now that's some strong secret keeping. So a Coca-Cola bottle's shape was patented, its logo is trademarked, its label and advertising is copyrighted, and the recipe is a trade secret. These intellectual property laws encourage creativity and inventions, music, art, and literature by awarding their creators with a limited monopoly to exclusively profit and control the work and how it's used. For a patent, now it's 20 years. A trademark must be renewed every 10 years, paying a fee and indicating that it is still in use. And a trademark's purpose is to protect the integrity of the brand and prevent confusion in the minds of the consumer. For copyright, the duration of exclusive use has varied over the years, but presently, works of personal authorship are protected by copyright for the life of the author plus 70 years. Now, these limited monopolies exist to strike a balance between the interests of the inventor or creator and the need for access for the good of the public. This is a delicate balance that can seem to be unbalanced, favoring one side or the other, the inventor, creator, owner, versus the good of the public. There can be a struggle, a difference of opinion, and there have been, and there are. So I demonstrate that with a little scales of justice, you know, Lady Justice. There is a pan on each side hanging from chains, and, you know, it can be balanced or it can be off balance one way or the other. So I use that scale of justice to, with copyright, the duration of life is life plus 70 years, meaning the owner, the creator, or traditionally often a publisher or a record company, can control the copying, distribution, modification, display, or performance of the work for a very long time. Some would say the balance is off in favor of the copyright owner versus the good of the public or society. As I mentioned, a trademark protects a brand. The brand may represent a product or a service, and there are specific categories and classes that must be stipulated in the trademark application. Again, the intent is to protect the integrity of the brand and prevent confusion in the minds of the public. So let's take the example of the brand Dove. What pops into your mind when you hear the brand Dove? So I show you a bar of soap and a bag of candy. Both of the same brand name, Dove. Neither one has anything to do with a bird, a dove. Their logos are different, but maybe we don't see the packaging. We're maybe just hearing about Dove. So would the duplicate name brand, Dove, confuse us as consumers? Why has the U.S. government registered Dove twice? Well, here's why the categories for registration are so important. We have products and services, but soap and candy are both products, but in very different categories. Now, we know that our grandparents talked about washing someone's mouth out with soap, you know, if they said a bad word or something. But generally, we aren't going to confuse soap and candy. So my props of a Dove soap package and a Dove candy package help to illustrate that concept of trademark. As I mentioned earlier, I consider copyright law in the digital age to be like a gray, murky ooze. It's not clear, it seems to shift, it's confusing. And my mission is to guard you around the potholes, around the quicksand that can suck the life out of a project or business. Now, you can't see my hands moving around the potholes and around the quicksand, but you can get the idea of the animation that must be going on. At presentations, I have boots, goggles, and gloves with me to venture into the gray, murky ooze. And I kiddingly chastise my audience members for being unprepared, unequipped to venture into the gray, murky ooze. But we do anyway. I now have a gray, murky ooze hat, a black baseball cap that I covered in long strips of black lace and netting and chiffon. My face and head are covered, and my vision is blocked by these swaying layers. That grabs attention and makes an impression. I also have a t-shirt that says on the front, "Manage Copyright," and on the back, "Don't let it manage you." And that tagline is my trademark, and in this case, it's a service mark. When I go to events, I usually wear a pin, a C in a circle, you know, the copyright symbol, and that's often a conversation starter. People will say, "Well, what's the C mean?" Or they might be too shy to ask. But somebody eventually asks, "What's the C mean?" Well, it's the C for copyright. And that opens a conversation. An especially confusing aspect of copyright law is the concept of fair use. there are circumstances when you can use copyright-protected materials without permission of the copyright owner. Fair use is a right. It's a rather complicated. It's purposely vague, so it can be flexible. That flexibility and vagueness, however, can drive us crazy. We'd like to have more set rules, more yes or no. But very briefly, there are four factors to consider when we do a fair use evaluation. The purpose of the proposed use, the nature of the work, the amount of the work used, and the effect on the market for the original work. So there's a lot to discuss. It's an art and a science in doing a fair use analysis. But I want to illustrate just two of those factors. I carry a copy of President Gerald Ford's autobiography entitled A Time to Heal, and it was published in 1979. It's 454 pages, and I'm waving it around right now, even though you can't see me. So the release of the book was eagerly anticipated. Why? You know, a 454-page book by a former president. Well, people wanted to know why President Ford pardoned Nixon. A couple of weeks before the book was released, a magazine called The Nation printed 300 words from that 454-page book. Just 300 words. What were they? Ford's explanation of why he pardoned Nixon. Those few words, 300 words from a 454-page book, were the heart of the work. So we're looking there at the amount of the original work that was used, a very small amount. And because that had been released, that question had been answered. And then nobody cared about the release of the actual book. So that factor, the amount used, had damaged the market for the book. The book's publisher sued The Nation magazine for copyright infringement, and the publisher won. So holding that 454-page book and thinking about 300 words from it drives home the point about that aspect of fair use. And finally, I've even recorded some playful videos. We know that the internet is a marvel of technology, but it's a double-edged sword. We can share content on the internet. We can demonstrate our skills as writers, photographers, singers, actors, artists. But others find those as well, and we want to be found. But some people intentionally or unintentionally take our works and pass them off as their own. They don't ask us for permission. They don't give us credit. They don't link back to our work, and they certainly don't pay us. We created that content. We're all consumers of copyrighted materials, but we're also all creators of copyrighted materials. We put time, effort, and money into creating it. It's our gold mine. So as part of my Guard Your Gold Mine campaign, I recorded a rather primitive Zoom video of me as a pirate. I made it specifically for Talk Like a Pirate Day, which is an actual day observed annually on September 19th. Now, you can listen to it, you can see it on my webpage or on my blog or on YouTube. So I won't do the full thing here. I said that I don't bother with gold doubloons, that the treasure now is in intellectual property. It's out there on the internet, just waiting to be plundered. But I hasten to warn the viewer not to be plundering this here recording because it's protected by U.S. copyright law. And I learned that from me mates at managecopyright.com. For Halloween, I have been a vampire who encourages an author to sign over the copyright to me. Oh no, this form, you don't have to read it. It's okay. It's all that legalese, you know. Trust me, I've reviewed it and it's okay. Just sign it. And we'll be all set forever. I've even portrayed a doctor with white coat and stethoscope assessing your copyright compliance health. And as I said, you can view all of those on my blog at managecopyright.com or on YouTube. But those have been fun. Now, I hope you can get a sense from these examples, the Coke bottle, the scales, the boots and goggles, the hat, the soap, the candy, the t-shirt, the books, the videos, how I do bring some fun to a potentially boring topic. So please remember, guard your gold mine. We all have a gold mine. It's no longer necessary to get a certificate from the U.S. Copyright Office the moment an original creative work is fixed in a tangible medium, print, video, audio, online. It is copyrighted. So guard your gold mine. It's too easy for people to go out and steal it without a thought. And manage copyright. Don't let it manage you. You can work with copyright as a tool. You don't have to be paralyzed or frozen, but neither should you ignore it. If we can find information, content on the internet, we can be found using it. Now, you may be bored watching paint dry or grass grow, but copyright law, bored? Never. I'm Barbara Ingracia of ManageCopyright.com. I hope you'll go to ManageCopyright.com to view the videos and grab the free ebook there, The 10 Biggest Copyright Mistakes Anyone Can Make That Could Land You in Court. Manage Copyright, ManageCopyright.com. Manage Copyright. And thank you for your time and your attention and your use of your imagination. And now, back to you, Tanya.